Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, no matter what you're going through, this too shall pass. The Bible say, amen, things are temporal, amen. They only last for a short time. If they would last over, amen, what God has literally, amen, purposed in our life, we wouldn't be able to make it. So I'm satisfied. I'm glad that God is my God. Amen. And that he can do everything but fail. You know, I always start off with a thought, amen, before I go into prayer. This is Sunday morning church on a Friday, amen, at 5 p.m. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this is an appropriate time, amen, to tap into God and see what, amen, God has for us. I'm telling you, he has a answer to every problem, and he can solve everything. He can do everything but fail. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love him because of that, but I love him because he first loved me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you know, I can say that from the heart. I don't have to pretend it. I don't have to go around and try to make it up. Amen. Because God, amen, has written it down in the tablets of my heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, because I found somebody in my life, amen, that can solve things. Amen. That when issues come, amen, this too shall pass. Amen. They won't stay with me long. Praise God. They won't linger around a long time because the Bible said before the pots in the book of Psalms, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, can fill up with thorns. Amen. God will come in and get those thorns out the way. And what he was literally saying, before the enemy can come in and overtake you, amen, concerning your problems and your issues in life, God will literally come in and remove the enemy out of your way. God bless him. I bless him. I bless him. I thank him. Oh, I bless him. I thank him. I praise his name. I bless him because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. Amen. We got a God that's on our side. Amen. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. A God that can do everything but fail. While you trying to figure it out, God has already figured it out. Amen. While you trying to make things right, God has already made things right. Amen. All you have to do is trust and believe in him. Amen. I'm a witness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm a testimony. Amen. For Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I worked for the public school district, and one of the things that I had told one of my principals when I was getting ready to be transferred to another school, and the reason why I was transferred, because I stood up for what was right. And I lived in Texas, and in Texas, you know, there are issues in Texas. Amen. And I thank God for the issues. So as I stood up for what was right and I began to expose the devil, you know, the devil don't want you to expose him for all his wickedness. And I began to tell, amen, and literally speak up, amen, concerning issues that was going on, amen. They wanted to remove me because, amen, they didn't like, amen, because I stood up as a woman and then as a black woman, amen, to tell them what thus said the Lord. I wasn't thinking about no racism, no prejudice. All I wanted to do was to get them to set their house in order. So I told this principal one of the things that I would do, amen, and he hated to see me leave. And I told him, I said, well, I got to go. I said, but one thing I will leave, amen, in your thoughts, amen, is to let you know that I'm going to tell the truth about Jesus. And I'm going to make known that Jesus is Lord, amen, and that he is our Savior, amen, despite of the oppositions, despite of the things, amen, that the enemy try to place in mankind to work against one another. Amen. And the principal was very nice. He called me his friend. I prophesied to him. Amen. Told him about his ministry. He's an evangelist, and he's been over in England, and he's been various other places. And I just loved him because he accepted me, amen, being of another color. So I just praise God. I had to believe God, amen. When warfare comes, amen, and you can't stand up for yourself and by yourself, you need to call on God, who is the author and finisher of your faith. So my thought, amen, I always give a thought for us to meditate upon. And it's just a simple verse, amen, that have a profound and powerful meaning behind it. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, it said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Come on, somebody. Amen. I know you're hearing what I'm saying. God is literally speaking to you.
hallelujah, and telling you, amen, thank you, Jesus, that he had already set you up for a blessing, already set you up to be a prophet, already set you up to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, amen, already set you up, amen, to receive from him. And nothing by any means can stop it if you continue to believe in what he said. Thank you, Jesus. Even though Jeremiah, amen, tried to argue the issue, amen, God literally let him know, say, you go and do what I told you to do because I am your front and rear wall. I am your backup, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to meditate upon those thoughts, amen, that God has given us, amen, and let them be a part of your daily walk, a part of your daily life. Let them sink down, amen, on the inside and begin to take root and take life, because in the word there is life, and we have life much more abundantly, amen, when we begin to read the word, begin to seek out the Lord, amen, begin to seek out his will concerning our lives, and allow him to work the works in us, because his work is perfect. Amen. His works are pleasing. His works are great. Amen. His works are good. And then one of the things that we do, I told you, amen, that as often as we come together, we always take the Lord's Supper. So if you have your bread and your grape juice, you're more than welcome to participate, because this is the will of God. Amen. And I like to walk in his will, because when I'm in his will, amen, I'm on the ark of safety. Amen. And a lot of people say, well, permissive will. Well, that's good, amen, thank you, Jesus. But if I'm in his perfect will, then I know everything is working out all right, because permissive will is that I want to force my will upon you, God, and for you to accept what I will, and it work out that way. But it don't work out that way, because what you want to do, amen, in the permissive state is cause something to happen, and God said, no, I don't want that to happen, because there are many issues that will come up, amen, and there are many challenges that will fall in behind that, and many obstacles that you might have to overcome. So God say, amen, walk in his perfect will. Oh, I'm excited today. It's Friday, amen, but at the same time, I'm excited because I have made Jesus my choice, amen. So if you have your bread, amen. Hold on just a moment, amen. Before we do that, let us pray. Father, we just give you all the honor and all the glory today, amen, all the praise. I'm so excited, hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus, for the word, amen. Thank you for anointing my mouth, and thank you, Lord God, for causing me to yield before you, amen, because I'm nothing without you, amen, and I want to do those things that are pleasing in your eyesight, amen, and I want to tell the truth at all times. Father, I ask you to move literally by your spirit and let the Holy Spirit take over the day, take over the preach word today that's in my mouth. Take over the word, amen, that set the captives free. Take over the word, amen, that will go in and loose the bounds, amen, today, off of those that are in prison and those that are caught up, amen, in all manner of sin and sicknesses in their bodies, God. Oh, Father, I ask that you would move and anoint me, God, so that you could get the glory, amen, and the devil can be defeated. Oh, I praise you, God, for this and destroying Lucifer, he capitalized and his evil works on the airways, amen, in the heavenlies and in the atmosphere and stratosphere, knowing that God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, without you, we cannot make it, God, but God, you are able, love God, to plant the seeds of righteousness, and God, those that receive those seeds, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and begin to act upon it, and our infertile ground, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, they will reap the benefits. Lord God, I give you glory today, and I'm asking you to God, the hallelujah, that created the heaven and earth, to move by your spirit and touch lives all over the land. Somebody's sick in their body. Somebody's using drugs for the first time. All kind of alcohol addictions and all kind of perversions in their lives of God. Are you able, Lord God? And I'm asking you, Lord God, to touch their lives and turn them around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. says, anoint your people the most, God, and stir up the gifts down on the inside of them. And move by your spirit, God, and touch God in the name of Jesus. Somebody need a heart transplant, but not only will you be able to transplant the heart, but your heart a fixer and a mind regulator. Somebody's causing, amen, various issues to come in their lives because of rebellion and disobedience. But God, turn them around and let them know there's not the one God. He can no Messiah. One faith and one baptism. Lord God, let them look up to the hills from which cometh their help. For their help cometh from the Lord. Oh God, establish their goings this day and forevermore. Protect them from all manner of hurt, harm, and danger. Now, God, we're depending on you, God, in a world that's dying, and a world that's all mixed up with perversions. We're depending on you, God, to see us through. I bind up Lucifer, and ask you, God, to destroy his works, those principalities and powers, those spiritual wickedness in high places, those rulers of the darkness of this world, in the name of Jesus. Stir down on the inside, God. Pull up, God, the gifts that are needed for your body. In the name of Jesus. Help the widows and the fatherless and the motherless today in the name of Jesus. Help those that are homeless today, God. You got a roof, Lord God, that no man know about. Lord God, give them shelter in the midst of their storms. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're depending on you, Jesus. The balm of Gilead and the robe of Sharon, the one that can heal a sin-sick soul. Those that are reprobated in their minds. Those that have double minds. Lord God, those that need an answer, God. Move by your spirit, Jesus. And God, touch God in the name of Jesus. Restore back what the canker worm and the palmer worm done eaten up. In Jesus' name. In famine time. Feed your people, God. Not only with the word, God. With, Lord God, food for the body, God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord God, we'll give you all the honor and glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You reign forevermore, God. I yield my body and mind. I repent from my sin, God. I can't do nothing without you, Jesus. I don't want to do nothing without you, Jesus. I know you in all my ways, God. And I ask you, Lord God, establish my goings. I might go in the wrong direction. I might do something that's not pleasing in your eyesight. But God, if you keep me, I will be kept. If you restore me, God, I will be restored. Total deliverance, God, for your people. Total the healing of healing for the land. Healing for the nation. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I ask you, Lord God, to send your blood, your son Jesus' blood, all down the streets of Jerusalem and all over the world so that they can understand that the blood heals and the blood delivers and the blood sanctifies and the blood makes an atonement for our souls. You are mighty God. You are mighty God. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for being who you are, God. Oh, Jesus, praise and bless your holy name. Oh, Jesus, I give you the glory today. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for keeping me and my children, God. I pray for the little children. Now, God, some of them are being abused today. Some of them are being murdered today. But, God, you told us, about your children, the forbid he come on the Messiah, that they never shall not have Messiah. Stop forbidding them to come up to you. But such is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're destroying generations of children because of all lust and all unrighteousness. righteousness, but I ask God to change the lust into righteousness, change that lust into humbleness, change that lust into yield to the one and true and only God, in Jesus' name. I bind up the powers of Lucifer, and I command him and his demons to go back to the pits of hell, to the abyss where they came from. To go back, because your assignment has been annulled. I declare and decree financial blessings upon God's people. I declare and decree the truth upon God's people. I declare and decree healing and deliverance, amen, shall take place. It will in no other wise do anything but fall up under the word of truth. Because Jesus not only came to redeem us, but he healed us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not only did he heal us, hallelujah, but he developed us through the word, letting us know that in our mouth, amen, as long as we speak truth, as long as we walk in faith, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As long as we declare and decree and walk in kingdom dominion and authority, we can ask anything in his name and God will do it. So I'm declaring and decreeing today that God will solve these issues for you, be it white men, black men, Jewish, Shacklebosite, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. All souls and all races are healed, and nobody, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, is greater than any other race or creed or color. But if we walk in sanctity, if we walk, amen, sanctified, if we walk in separation from the deeds and the things of the world, and tend unto our Father God's business, because that is our meat, that is our daily bread, to do what God said do, in the span of a day's time, we will begin to see changes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, Isaiah, the 58th chapter, told us about, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the fast that we should be on. And this fast, amen, is an everlasting fast. It's not one where you have to do without food. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It's not one that you would do like Daniel did with a past fast. But it's one, hallelujah, that you would go around and help the widows and the fatherless, amen, and those that need help. That you would send out the word, that you would do things that you're supposed to do and not be doing things on the Sabbath day like a lot of people do. Instead of assembling in church, they go around and when they want to lawns. They want to get out on their boats and their yachts. But God said in Isaiah 50, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, 58, if you do those things, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, it won't be like a fast of not allowing, amen, food to come into your system, but it will be an everlasting fast where there is. You will be like a water garden. That's when you will see your blessings, when you do the will of the Father, when you that's when blessings will come. They will overtake you, just like in Deuteronomy 28. And then not only that, but the Bible said, because we are upon the grace and truth, the blessings will come because, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the promises is yea and amen. And before we even knew the good, do good or evil, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, he had made a promise to Father Abraham before we was even born and knew about anything. God had already set his stamp of approval. We'll be like that water garden and won't have to worry about nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Saints, we got to do it right. Amen. So many people interpret the scriptures, and that's good, because it's not of a private interpretation. But when you understand the scriptures and you begin to break it down and you begin to ask the Holy Spirit to literally tell you what he's saying, he'll tell you that this is like this here. Amen. Although they're preaching it another way, that's fine and good. But when you want to get down to the sincere meat, amen, you want to get down there and break it up, amen, so that people can understand. We got to be like that watered garden, amen. And in order to get to that point, you're going to have to literally come on a fast, amen, not like the Jewish nation did back in the old days where they put on their little robes and made their faces look like they're fasting. Amen. God don't want that. Amen. Because God asked them, he said, for what reason are you coming before me to fast? Amen. Why are you coming before me fasting and showing your countenance like you're fasting? He said, is this not the fast that I have chosen for you, to loose the bounds of the people, to cause them to walk upright, to help our sisters and brothers, to bless them? Instead of blessing our sisters and brothers, we'll go around and want to curse them. Go around and reject them. You can see your sister and brother in a need, amen, and you can do some evil things, amen, toward them. There was a time that I had a need, and I had asked someone to send me some finances, amen, and give it to this person so that they could drop it in my account. This person did that, and the person that they gave it to held on to the finances until after the time of my need, amen, and then decided they would want to send them to me and hadn't talked to me, didn't call and tell me the reason why they was holding it, amen, but they were holding it out of meanness. But God, amen, seen what was going on, and he caused another person to bless me. It's time for us to stop being so self-righteous and do things, amen, in a mean way. Because, amen, saints go through, but at the same time, as we as the body of Christ learn how to help the saints, amen, we're going to be like that water garden, amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to produce fruits, and it's going to yield its kind, amen, every season, amen. And the land will begin to just be a blessing upon us that do the will of God. And then we got to stop trying to be so self-righteous and begin to understand that even the smaller churches or the small ministries, they are in need of a financial blessing. But we want to shed our bowels of compassion and give to these big mega churches that are not doing anything with it but feeding the flesh. We need to set our house and our lives in order and do the things that are right in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody today. So let's go, amen, into the Lord's Supper, for the Bible said in the 1 Corinthians, amen, the 11th chapter, starting at the 24th verse, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. If you have your bread, you may take it now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then in the 25th verse, it says, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Praise God. You may drink now. Amen. So we know the reason why we do this. Amen. Paul literally explained to the Corinthian church why, amen, that was done. I want you to listen to this. Amen. Praise God. You've got dreams and you've got goals. Amen. Praise God. I have a thought for today, and it's very important that we catch hold to the truth. Amen. And literally begin to seek the Lord. Amen. Because of the various things that we go through in life. Amen. And not knowing and understanding how our inward man, as well as our outward man, functions and what Satan does to it. And one of the things that he operates in is unbelief. Amen. And we as the body of Christ have expressed our unbelief more than we should have ever even done. Amen. Because God is the one that literally comes in and brings things to pass concerning our lives. Amen. So our unbelief has caused us to literally, amen, not receive the promise nor receive our blessings. The Bible said that the Israelites, the Jewish nation or the Hebrews, amen, as you want to call them by title, amen, praise God, they could not enter in to the promised land because of unbelief. They literally murmured and complained at all times. And that's the way we do. As soon as God give us a blessing or said that he's going to bless us, one of the things that set in is unbelief. And we begin to make a shipwreck of our lives, and then we want to blame God. Unbelief is a lack of confidence or trust in God. We hear Amen. There is a God, but our carnal mind don't want to believe God at his word. Amen. We can say, oh, God is this, and he's great, and he can do this, and he can do that. But when it really comes down to us, amen, and our livelihood, we begin to doubt him. Hold on. We literally begin to doubt him and begin to question, amen, what he has promised and said that he would do. On the other hand, belief is acceptance of the truth. Amen. We can't doubt. We cannot doubt. When God tells you something, you cannot doubt him. It's killing us. It's killing all of us. It's killing the pastors. It's killing the teachers. It's killing the evangelists. It's killing all the people that are in their congregation. That little small amount of unbelief that is just like a piece of dark material. It's black. It's just as black as can be. And it began to hurt your eyes. You look at it so long. But what God wants to do today is he want to turn you back in the right direction. The Bible says, if you turn me, I'll turn. And there's a song that is said, if you turn me, Lord, I'm ready to turn. That means I'm tired of my situation. I'm tired of going through. And what is it that I'm doing that's not good standing with you? Because I'm tired. I want to see a change in my life. You promised me my sons and my daughters wouldn't use drugs and they would get their lives together. You promised me that you would keep me on this job. You promised me that I would marry before this year is up. You promised me that my marriage would get better. You promised me that I would be able to win souls for the kingdom. But seem like the more I listen to what you say, I begin to argue with you. I begin to argue in my emotions, in my mind, amen, because I can't see how you're doing it. I can't reason it out. I don't understand how you're doing it. And because I can't see a thing, I begin to reject the very thing that's going to take me to my next level. Excuse me. When you are double-minded, you begin to reason the truth. You begin to do that which is not right. You begin to set up doubt in your mind. James 1 and 8 states, a double mind is a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And in James 4 and 8, he said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. The heart, amen, is deceitfully wicked, amen. And it will literally cause you to miss out on God because it begins to reason. It begins to cause you to try to think a thing out and make it better so that God can hurry up and do a thing for you. Take, for instance, a woman that is seeking a husband. If God tell her that she's going to receive a husband and he will let her know what day and what time to go in certain areas or whatever so that she can receive this blessing, then what she began, she began to think about it and reason it out, and she began to go and try to search on her own instead of believing God. Unbelief was set in, and then she'll begin to do things that are not in context to what God is saying, and she'll cause herself to go in search for the man and be looking for the man, and people will begin to look at her and say, well, oh, she's out for one thing, and all that, or she'll begin to talk and tell all her business, and it's a good thing not to tell your business to your friends and associates when God is telling you something, because you don't know whether they have your best interest or not. But God wants us to purify, amen, to purify our hearts. get rid of something that is harmful to your existence. In this case, it is the evil heart, which is the emotions. Amen. Our heart is the seat of our emotions. Amen. That work with the conscience and thoughts in order to control our lives. Our lives every day are controlled by our emotions. Our emotions can be on an upswing, or we can have PMS. We can have a downswing. Our emotions can literally control us as far as, you know, what we're going to do for that day. We can wake up in the morning and say, oh, well, I don't feel like going to work. Amen. Your emotions done told you something. Amen. And you done did literally stood up on it. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about the emotions. When your emotions kick in, maybe because of something that was said or something like that. So we have to really learn how to not allow these emotions that Satan worked with to interfere with the will of God. Emotions are killers. The emotions will literally kill you. This is where Satan works the most, in our emotions, our feelings, our desires, our thoughts, our will, the reasoning, and the logic, and the perception. Amen. And that's the five senses. Our perception is what we use to acquire the information we need to help us throughout our everyday lives. Our five senses speaks to us to tell us things we need to know in order to survive. Amen. You walk up to a stove has fire coming from it. Amen. And our perception, amen, one of the things that it'll tell you with your eyesight, don't touch it. But you just gonna go on and touch it anyway, and when you touch it, amen, your perception's gonna kick in, amen, and your feelings is gonna tell you, ouch, you burned me. But that is it literally could have been avoided if you would not have allowed Satan, amen, to work on your emotions to tell you to go and do something that's not right, that's not gonna be a benefit to you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Satan used your five senses to distort the truth that God has spoken over your lives. This is why in Jeremiah 31:33, God said that he was going to do a new thing. He's going to put his law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. God had to literally do that, because as soon as the Israelites would get up from making sacrifices, going before the high priest, confessing their sins, and doing everything that was in the law, as soon as they departed, they would go back into sin and do that which was unseemly. Well, our hearts was desperately wicked. The emotions, amen, that seed of emotions was literally dictating to them and say, oh, you can lust again, and then you're going to go before the high priest, and then God is going to make an atonement for your soul, amen, through the sacrifices of animals. But God seen that the law, amen, wasn't benefiting them. Making sacrifice to animals wasn't benefiting them, because every time they would, amen, sin, they would go back and repent and get up and sin again. So their emotions were entangled with evil, amen, that Satan had done to God's people, amen, at the beginning of creation. In Hebrews 4, amen, thank you, Jesus. Verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. The word of God knows whether we believe God or not, whether we are literally just playing a game or our emotions going to kick in. God is saying that his word is effective in getting results done and skillful, moving quickly without delay. That means if he told you something, if he spoke a word in your life, he's going to literally do what he said he's going to do. But we as the body, amen, of Christ, begin to reason. We begin to doubt. When doubt set in, yeah, that stays the hand of God. We can't do nothing. He can't do nothing for us. Like a blade that is sharpened on both sides, penetrating, piercing through, separating, detaching the soul, which is the, amen, seat of our emotions, amen, from our spirit. Amen. God will then begin to go in and begin to investigate and look at what the issue, what the problem is coming out from. Why you walking in unbelief? Why you don't accept what I tell you? Why you turn around and you make a mess, a shipwreck of the things that I've already told you that I would bring to pass? You go in and interfere with it. Those emotions, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, and it separates. He'll look at the soul and see if the soul is doing this here, the emotion is doing that there, amen, the heart is doing it. He'll look at the spirit man to see, amen, what the spirit is doing. Is the spirit doing it, amen? Does it need to be corrected? Does it need to be cleaned up, amen? Then the spirit, amen, it literally means breath. The spirit is the higher level, amen, and the soul is the lower level, amen. The spirit is the ruha, our life, or it can be called the wind or the air, amen. That's what God did at the beginning. He breathed the breath of life into us. And of the junctions between, amen, which is that little section between the joints, amen, it's called junctions between the bones and the soft and red, yellow tissues that fill the inside of the bones where life began. That's, amen, in essence, you call that the marrow, amen. And the marrow is that yellow and red tissue that fills inside of the bones where life began. Amen. When God created Adam, amen, one of the things that he did, he created one bone. And that bone, amen, is a mystery because it has marrow in it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, I can't think of the chapter right now, but it speaks about nobody understanding how the bones grow on the inside. Well, inside of that bone is marrow, and marrow is the cause of the life-giving cells that goes on and causes things to be made, amen, in essence to the skeletal part of the body. And that marrow, amen, is used for every portion of the body in order to keep it alive as well as the spirit. So the ruha, amen, the life, amen, that God has given us, God will begin to look at the heart, amen, the seat of our emotions, amen, and see if it's our emotions that's playing tricks with us. And then he'll know, yes, Satan is the one that's causing these issues and causing them to sin and causing them to walk in doubt, amen, and unbelief. And then he'll look at the spirit. He said, well, okay, well, the spirit needs to be corrected. The inward man, amen, really need to go in and get cleansing. David, amen, literally said, asked God to purge him with hyssop and wash him and make him white as snow. Amen. Because the inward man, amen, the spirit man had to be cleaned up. Amen. Because it was walking in unbelief. It was walking just like that old sinful nature, amen, that the flesh brought. Because, amen, thank you, Jesus, Satan had tampered with our beliefs. It made it difficult for us to obtain our blessings, amen, and our trust in God. One of the things that we do, we say, yeah, God, we trust you, and then turn around, amen, and no, I got to take this into my own hand. God is waiting. He's taking his time. He's not doing it quick enough. But if we trust in God, then that means that we're literally going to wait on him. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 27 literally tells us to wait on the Lord. Amen. And then the Bible says, let a patient have his perfect works. And the reason why God said that and had that statement written in the Bible is because, amen, if patient is having his perfect works, while God, amen, has told us that he would do a thing for us, amen, that unbelief won't set in, those emotions won't kick in, and we won't begin to reason against the will of God and try to work things out, and it will keep us where we will possess our souls. A lot of people lose their souls just behind unbelief. He said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge, but unbelief caused the Israelites not to enter into the promised land. A lot of them was destroyed before they could enter into the promised land. Thank you, Jesus. belief carries, and it literally helps us deal with, amen, what is going on in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It carries us through from day to day. If we believe in God, if we have faith in God, we trust in God. Amen. Abraham believed God. Amen. And was counted unto him for righteousness. We have to believe God can do what he said he'll do. And that when he speaks a word to us, his word will not return back void. But the enemy comes in, and right then he kills it out. Just like the seed that was sown, amen, and was sown on, some was sown on stony ground, some was sown on good ground, amen, and various issues happened in that essence, and I'm paraphrasing it, and what happened, amen, those that were sown on stony ground, they couldn't take root, amen, because, amen, the enemy came right then and took the word of God away from you. What God said he was going to do, he literally took it away, amen, and you begin to walk in doubt, and you begin to say, well, God didn't do this here like he said he was going to do. Well, it's not God's fault. It's our fault because of that unbelief that we have carried around in our emotions and the seat of our emotions and how we have dealt with things, amen, and how we have listened to voices of negativity, voices that talk to us, amen. Satan works to apply the negative, amen, in order to keep you from receiving what God has to offer in your life concerning, amen, his will and purpose. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, in your life. You cannot make up what you have done, but at the same time, you cannot give up. You have to keep on pressing when you make those mistakes. Amen. And walk in that unbelief. Satan brings us down, and we end up aborting the very thing that God has appointed for our lives. Jesus said in John 14, chapter 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we have doubted him and Father, amen, God, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. In James 1, 17 and 8, it states that every good and perfect gift come from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness. That means there's no changing. What he said he's going to do, he's going to do. He operated in nothing but truth. He does no lie in him. And then amen, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. Amen. So his thoughts, amen, is to bring us, amen, and cause us to have an expected end. Amen. Good things. Amen. All he want to do is apply good things to our life. But we end up shipwrecking every good thing that come our way. We mess up everything that come our way because we walk in unbelief. Unbelief will kill you, saints. Amen. And it said, neither shadow of turning. Once, amen, he said it, he's able to bring it to pass. Once he applied, amen, and speak it out of his mouth, it comes from heaven. It comes all the way down here through the earth realm. God done did some extensive work. He done fought off demons for you. He done got everything ready for you to receive your blessing. And all of a sudden, because of Satan talking to your emotions and bringing you down, amen, causing your heart to literally faint and causing you to do things that you shouldn't be doing, you walk out of the will of God and begin to do, amen, things that you shouldn't do. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth. Amen. You got to believe that God is who he says he is. You got to believe. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He didn't leave out the Holy Spirit, and he didn't leave out Jesus Christ. They three work together as one. They are the Trinity. Amen. They are, amen. They are the ones that work, amen, on our behalf. And they're working overtime for unbelievers because we have made a shipwreck of our lives. So, beloved, we have to believe God in order to receive. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He sanctified us, pulled us to the side, separated us from the world and the world. family system, so that he can impart the truth in us so that we can walk in belief and not unbelief. But then we turn around once he done cleaned us up, amen, once he done put the truth in us, we still walking down. We still want to try to challenge his word. We still want to talk and falsely accuse him. Thank you, Jesus. We have to believe in our heart that God said that he would, amen, do what he said he's going to do and that he is able to perform it. Amen. Amen. Like I told you, the Israelites began to rebel. They began to cry and murmur and complain. Amen. And want everything. Amen. And then walk in doubt. And you can read that in Psalms 95 and 11. Unbelief calls you to walk in a lie. Unbelief begins to argue with God. It begins to tell God in the mind. Amen. And the thoughts and the emotions. Oh, God, you said you was going to do it, but let me help you out. You're not moving quick enough for me. And I think that I got a better idea and I can help you better understand how to deal with me because I know me. But I'm telling you, saints, you don't know yourself. I have made so many mistakes with this unbelief and doubting and stuff like that until God had to literally just sit me down and teach me, say, now, daughter, you can no longer walk in unbelief because it's hindering you. It's causing you to miss out on your blessing. If I tell you a bird is going to fly over you and jump seven times, in essence, I'm just saying this, then you got to literally believe that that bird is going to fly and jump seven times, amen, over me, like God said he said that he would do. So I got to believe. I have to set my belief in action. I have to focus on Jesus Christ. I have to keep my focus on the Word. I have to keep my focus on God, amen, who created the heaven and earth. I have to keep my focus on the testimonies of God in order for me to, amen, be reassured daily, amen, reassured daily. Psalms 119 in one of the passages of the alphabet say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. When you walk in unbelief, you are sinning against God as well as yourself, and you will have hindered your blessings. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Moses and Aaron, amen, they literally got in trouble with God, amen, because of the people, amen, and their murmuring and complaining and their doubting and all their unbelief, and they caused Moses and Aaron to literally walk at one point in weakness, amen. Unbelief is weakness, and that unbelief caused, amen, thank you, Jesus, Moses and Aaron, amen, not to enter into the promised land. Amen. We cannot work in unbelief. We cannot walk in it. We cannot adhere to it. Every time Satan comes with a negative thought in our hearts, a doubt, amen, in our hearts, we need to tell Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and I'm not going to listen to that negativity, amen, that you're trying to put in me, and I don't want to adhere to what you're saying because all this is not of God. So, saints, I'm telling you, from now on, walk in belief, and every time something come in that's negative, don't think. Cut it off. Tell the devil, I literally don't want to hear what you got to say. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Jesus said you cannot enter into my rest because of unbelief. Amen. That's what Paul had wrote about. You have to believe that God is God and God can do everything but fail. You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for us and is sitting now on the right-hand side of Father God, truly making intercessions for us. Like I say, he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Let us hold on to belief and stop doubting. Stop trying to reason a thing out. Stop trying to use logic to try to resolve the things that you don't even understand. It's uncomprehensible, not letting you have God to comprehend for you. Stop being so, you know, we can be so intelligent until we just really miss the mark. Let us turn back to our belief system in God and begin to walk in it and not doubt. Have a great weekend. Amen, and God bless.